Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7a. The Reverend Dr. Corey Rajak is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Colossians chapter 2. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul's words to the Colossians in our text for today sound remarkably contemporary as he warns against being deluded with plausible arguments. If there's anything this world has a lot of today, it is plausible arguments. We've all heard them. All roads lead to God. God wants you to be rich and happy. The Bible is an outdated book. Besides, God changes with the times. Jesus plus fill in the blank equals salvation. Now, I could go on and on and on, but I think we've all heard them before. What makes plausible arguments so insidious is that they can sound convincing. They can sound reasonable, even wise, but in the end, plausible arguments lead away from Christ. You see, the danger is not always in something obviously false or offensive. More often, it is subtle. It is persuasive. And it dresses itself up in language of truth. This is the ongoing challenge of the church in every age, including our own. False teaching rarely announces itself as false. I remember one of my seminary professors used to tell us that the devil will not come to you in a red suit and a pitchfork. That's too recognizable. Rather, he will come to you with a certain attractiveness, a kind of intellectual polish, even a moral appeal. And he will promise deeper insight, fuller spirituality, and a more relevant faith. Of course, all of it is lies. But Paul's concern is not simply about ideas. Paul is concerned about salvation. You see, to be drawn away from Christ, even by something that seems harmless or helpful, is to be drawn away from the only source of life. So, what is the antidote? Well, Paul gives it to us plainly. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Let's take the first phrase of this sentence. You received Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice this is not language of achievement. He does not say you discovered Jesus Christ the Lord, or you chose Christ Jesus the Lord, or you attained Christ Jesus the Lord, but he says you received Christ Jesus the Lord. That language is gift language. You received Christ the same way a child receives a gift. Given and not earned. It is the language of grace. It is the language of justification. It is the language of the gospel. In our Lutheran confession, this point is central. We are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That means we receive Christ. He comes to us. He is given to us. He is delivered to us. Where? In the places he has promised. In the means of grace. You received Christ in the water of holy baptism, where you were united with his death and resurrection. You received Christ in the word that is proclaimed into your ears. You received Christ in his holy supper, his true body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Brothers and sisters, this is not symbol language. This is reality. You received Christ Jesus the Lord through the means that he has promised to work, through the means he has promised to make disciples. And notice how Paul in our text names him. He says, Christ Jesus the Lord. He is not merely a teacher. He is not merely an example. He is not merely an inspiring figure. He is the Christ. That is the anointed one. The Messiah promised of old. He is Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins. He is the Lord, the crucified and risen Son of God. The one who justifies sinners. This is the one you have received. And because he is a gift given by grace and not earned, our confidence cannot rest in our own strength. Our confidence cannot rest in our own understanding. Our confidence cannot rest in our own consistency. But our confidence rests in him alone. So then St. Paul says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, the way that the Christian life begins is the way that it continues. We are often tempted to think that while salvation may begin with God's grace, it must be sustained by my effort. That I am forgiven by Christ, but then I must grow in that faith by my own strength. But Paul says, no. The same way Christ is given to you at your beginning is the one in whom you continue. To walk in him means that your entire life, your identity, your hope, your direction is bound up in Christ. To walk in him means that you do not move beyond him, that you do not move to this side or that side of him. To walk in him does not mean that you graduate from him. Nor do you supplement him with something more advanced. No, to walk in him means to remain in him. It means to abide in him. And when you think about it, that is incredibly freeing, because it means that the Christian life is not about constantly searching for something new or better. Rather, it's about remaining in the one who is all and in all. And yet, this walk is not passive. It is a daily walk of repentance and faith, of drowning out the old Adam and the springing of life of the new man. It is a walk of hearing the word, of receiving the sacrament, of praying, of loving your neighbor, and yes, when called upon, even bearing the cross. But all of it flows from being in him, not from striving to become something apart from him. In the last verse of our text, Paul gives us two images, one from agriculture and one from construction. He says, rooted and built up in him. First, rooted. The picture here is one of stability and nourishment. A tree does not give itself life. It receives life through its roots. It draws water and nutrients up from the soil. So also the Christian. To be rooted in Christ means that your life draws its strength from him. Not from your circumstances, not from your feelings, not from your achievements, but from him. And this rooting is not something you do. Notice the passive sense. Having been firmly rooted is something God has done to you. He has planted you in Christ so that, and here's the second image, you might be built up. So that you might be strong, so that you might be a structure that is being strengthened and reinforced and expanded. Brothers and sisters, this is the ongoing work of sanctification. God is not content to leave you as you were, but he's building you up as he is strengthening your faith and in deepening your understanding. He is shaping your life according to his will so that you might go out and love your neighbor. But again, the key phrase is in him. You are not being built up into something that is independent of Christ. You are being built up in Christ. He is both the foundation and the structure. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Next, in our text, St. Paul writes, established in the faith just as you were taught. Here he brings us back to doctrine, back to teaching. The Christian faith is not some vague spirituality. It is not a collection of personal insights or evolving ideas. It is a definite, concrete teaching handed down through the apostles. Just as you were taught, he says. And this matters because the plausible arguments Paul warns about often come by redefining and reshaping the faith. They suggest that the old teaching is too narrow, that it's too outdated, that it's too simplistic for our evolving world. But Paul points us not forward to innovation, but back to what was taught from the beginning. This is why the church confesses. This is why we hold to the scriptures and why we teach the catechism and encourage everyone to read it daily. This is why we guard our doctrine. Not because we are resistant to growth, but because we know that true growth happens only by the grace of God in the truth of the gospel. To be established in the faith is to be grounded in what God has said and done in Christ. And that faith is not merely intellectual, it is trust. Trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. Paul concludes our text by saying, abounding in thanksgiving. You see, when you are rooted in Christ, when you are built up in Him, when you are established in the faith, what overflows is thanksgiving. Not anxiety, not pride, not despair, but thanksgiving. Because you know that all that you are and all that you have is pure gift from God. Your forgiveness, a gift. Your faith, a gift. Your salvation, a gift. Your very life in Christ, a gift. And so the Christian life becomes a life of gratitude. Even in suffering, even in uncertainty, even in the face of death, because Christ has been given to you, nothing more is needed. Brothers and sisters, Paul's words are both simple and profound. As you received Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. You have received Christ, not because you're worthy, not because you understand everything, not because you've got your life all together, but because He is gracious, because He is loving, because He did and gives all that you need for this body and life. So we remain in Him. And when the world offers its plausible arguments, return to Christ. When your old own heart accuses you of all kinds of wrong, return to Christ. When you are weary and uncertain, return to Christ. Return. Not to an abstract Savior, but to the place of His real presence, to the places He has promised to work, to His precious word and sacraments. There you are rooted in Him. There you are built up in Him. There you are established in the faith you have been taught. And there you have reason for thanksgiving. The one you have received is faithful. He will sustain you, He will preserve you, and He will bring you at last to the fullness of life in His kingdom. To Him be all glory, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.